Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd Canto, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, Text 3. Visrijya kamam dambham cha dvesham lobham agam madam apramat todyata nityam tejiyamsam atoshaya. Visrijya,
giving up.
Kamam, lust.
Dambham,
pride.
Cha,
and. Dvesham,
envy.
Lobham,
greed.
Agam, sinful activities. Madam,
vanity.
Apramata,
sane.
Ujjata,
laboring diligently.
Nityam,
always.
Tejiyamsam,
her very powerful husband.
Atoshayat,
she pleased.
Translation. Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities, and vanity. Purport. Here are some of the qualities of a great husband's great wife. Kardama Muni is great by spiritual qualification. Such a husband is called Tejiyamsam, most powerful. Although a wife may be equal to her husband in advancement in spiritual consciousness, she should not be vainly proud. Sometimes it happens that the wife comes from a very rich family, as did Devahuti, the daughter of Emperor Swayambhuvamanu. She could have been very proud of her heritage, her parentage, but that is forbidden. The wife should not be proud of her parental position. She must always be submissive to the husband and must give up all vanity. As soon as the wife becomes proud of her parentage, her pride creates misunderstanding between the husband and wife, and their nuptial life is ruined. Devahuti was very careful about that, and therefore it is said here that she gave up pride completely. Devahuti was not unfaithful. The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. Chanaka Pandit has described 4 kinds of enemies at home. If the father is in debt, he's considered to be an enemy. If the mother has selected another husband in the presence of her grown-up children, she's considered to be an enemy. If a wife does not live with her husband but deals very roughly, then she is an enemy. And if a son is a fool, he's also an enemy. In family life, father, mother, wife, and children are assets. But if the wife or mother accepts another husband in the presence of her husband or son, then according to Vedic civilization, she's considered an enemy. A chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. That is a greatly sinful act. Om Gyana Chimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, as Gopi Pranadana Prabhu was speaking a few days ago, we're giving class on these verses which explain principles of ideal household life and ideal wife behavior. But we have a room full of saffron and one saffron candidate. So obviously we have to tailor the message accordingly, although in these days of MP3 and the internet, classes become global in their impact. So no those of you out there in internet land who may hear this class, please bear in mind the circumstances before me as I speak. At the holy place of Govardhan Ashram, and a room full of brahmacharis, a sannyasi, and one brahmachari candidate. The spirit soul in material world manifests incompleteness. And because of that feeling of incompleteness, the conditioned soul wants to latch on to another conditioned soul. First of all, we have to understand this feeling of incompleteness. The feeling of incompleteness can only be solved by reviving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But conditioned life means you seek other solutions. Seeking other solutions to satisfy your problem of incompleteness, then linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead automatically brings about conditions. Therefore, conditioned soul. As soon as you try to fulfill yourself or complete yourself without direct connection to Krishna, you become subject to conditions. It's as simple as that. People cannot understand the source of their problems. Why are these conditions upon me? You know the threefold miseries, of course. Adiatmic, adibhautic, adidaivic. How is this happening to me? But they can't trace the root of their problems. The root of their problems is they sought to fulfill themselves, to complete themselves, by latching on to something other than Krishna. As soon as you do that, you become subject to conditions. In fact, that is the whole arrangement for the fall of the living entity to the material world. Prabhupada said it again and again. He said, you can fall from any relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. He said it point blank. When you seek to fulfill yourself outside of your relationship with Krishna, then immediately you become subject to the material world and its conditions. After many births and deaths of seeking fulfillment outside of Krishna, if there's good fortune in your life, you seek to revive your dormant relationship. And then what is the situation? Srila Prabhupada explained, it's just like waking up from a dream. When you're inside the dream, it seems to go on and on and on. But once you wake up, you realize the dream was just a short time. You've all had that experience of being caught up in a dream, and it just seems endless when you're in the dream. But as soon as you wake up, you realize, just a few minutes passed, just an hour. I was just dozing for an hour. So Srila Prabhupada explained that that is the experience, the revived part and parcel of Krishna feels when full Krishna consciousness dawns. You wake up from a dream. And furthermore, what happens when you dream? You can be doing so many things in so many places in the dream world, but where are you actually? You're just laying in bed. But in your mind, in your dream, you're here, there, everywhere. Being run over by a car or with a movie starlet or something. But actually, you're just laying right there in bed. So, similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains quite profoundly, we have never left Krishna. Never will there be a time when we're away from Krishna. But we're dreaming that we're away from Krishna. It is impossible for us to ever be separate from Krishna except in a dream. So there's no question of our ever having left Krishna. In that sense, there's no question of our ever having fallen. You cannot get away from Krishna. And when the vision becomes perfect, then you see Krishna is here. I am with Krishna. For example, once Srila Prabhupada was walking on the Bowery, the section of New York City at that time anyway, in which drunkards and alcoholics and homeless people inhabit. Run down section of the city at that time. I don't know how it is now. Real estate values change very over time. But anyway, devotees were walking with Prabhupada through this, at that time, run down section of the city, and they were saying, "Prabhupada, isn't this sight so depressing, or aren't things so ugly?" And this section of the city, and Prabhupada said, "If you could see what's really there, you would see Vaikuntha." One thing we must remember in hearing from Prabhupada is that he spoke profound, the most profound realizations in very simple language. And you can be deceived. You can think that because Prabhupada spoke simply or he spoke apparently casually on morning walks, that therefore what he says is, you know, it's all right, but it may not, there may be other deeper expositions. Actually, no one understood Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur better than Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had the uncanny knack of speaking extraordinarily deep truths just in the course of a walk. And because they're coming out in plain, non-technical English, you can be kind of fooled and think, well, there must be something more. Wherever we are, if we wake up from the dream of conditioned life, if we stop seeking completion outside of Krishna, then we understand Krishna is with us. We are always with Krishna. There's nothing separate from Krishna. It all depends on one's activities. Mamcha yoga vicharena, bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samati jaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, if you're constantly engaged in devotional service, then you transcend the modes of material nature. By that process of constant engagement in devotional service, you are awake. Therefore, even in your situation in the material world, apparently you're awake to the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada explained, that is why he said, whenever he would go here or there, this is not New York, this is not London. If you're following the practices of Krishna consciousness, you are in Vaikuntha. One can think about that statement on different levels. And as the years have gone by in devotional service, at least I have thought about it on different levels. The deepest level is that if you're fully absorbed in devotional service, for you, the dream doesn't exist, even though apparently you're in the dream world. By the processes of devotional service and your constant absorption in them, you realize, I'm with Krishna, Krishna's with me, we've never been separated. It's simply that the intervention of the illusory energy causes the impression, the false impression, that there's separation from Krishna. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Maya chitam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani achaham teshu vastita. I'm spread everywhere in my impersonal manifestation as my energies. Everything rests upon me, but I am not there. Why is Krishna not there? We just got finished saying, like, there's never any place where we're separate from Krishna. But then why does Krishna say, Nichaham Teshu Vashtita? I'm not there. He's saying, I'm not there because you can't see me. Therefore, I'm not there because you can't see. The perfected vision of the Mahabhagavat devotee is to see Krishna and everything in Krishna. The Lord also explains that in Bhagavad Gita. For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I'm never lost to him, he's never lost to me. That is the reality. As in the pinnacle moment of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Ramananda Roy was seeing Radha Krishna everywhere, Lord Chaitanya told him, this vision you're asking about to me, this vision you're seeing everywhere, this is all because of your Krishna consciousness. This is the way someone like you sees things. Stava jangama teke na teke taramurti. Sava jahoi nij ishta deva spurti. You see material objects, but then because you immediately, upon seeing them, know that this is Krishna's energy, therefore immediately you see Radha Krishna everywhere. In other words, you're not seeing the dream. You're seeing Krishna's energies and Krishna. How do we fall into the dream? Even though we've never left Krishna, we've never fallen, but we're dreaming we're away from Krishna, therefore we're fallen. How is it that we got into the dream? Seeking completeness outside of Krishna. We all know what it's like to have this gap in the heart, this longing to be fuller. And then we think, in the association of someone else, then that gap will be filled and I'll become more wholesome. I'll become a complete person. So therefore, Pum sastriya mitchani bhavametam tyor mito hridaya grantamau. As Lord Vrishabhdev explains, this mitchani bhava, what is correct? Mitchani or maitani?
Maitani.
Maitani, alright. Maitani. So, Pum sastriya. But in that sense, it changes. All right.
Well, it can be both, actually. Going into the rule, because it becomes reading and not mighty, what belongs to the mitt, you know.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I know, because sometimes in Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita purport, he says, mittuni, bhava, yes, all right.
Kura and kaura.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. All right, that's why I was asking. So, the attraction between the male and female, that is the basis of material existence. This mitthuni bhava, it's a kind of emotional state generated when the male material nature is around the female material nature. A whole reality triggers in your consciousness. And you become absorbed in a certain bhava, existential state of emotional existence. And your conditioned nature cries out, yes, here is the completion that I'm longing for. Yes, here is what will turn darkness to light. Yes, here is the soothing I need for my parched psyche. Yes. No one's noticed me for so many years. No one's cared for me or appreciated me. No one has sought to understand my nature, my moods. But here is someone who will completely dedicate to understanding me. I'll feel complete. I'll get this sense of completeness physically, mentally. Yes, this will be a big answer to a lot of my problems. So that is how this Mithuni Bhava begins. You need to feel completed. And you hope that by connection with the opposite sex, all, or not all, but at least most of the missing things in your life will be established. Of course, most men, besides seeking completeness in a woman, also need their toys, cars, computers, video cameras. But still, the female plays an important role in giving the sense of completeness. And then, besides the female, you know, the man has his car, his gadgets, his gizmos, his male friends. But the female plays a very important role in making the man feel physically and emotionally connected to somebody. It's like when there's some breakup in the relationship. The man, he feels like something has been ripped away from him. How could you do this to me? I'm not the man I used to be. The man once again feels his sense of incompleteness. And he blames it on the woman. By your leaving me like this, I'm just left bereft of my powers. I'm just left like a weakling. Then you can see the problem clearly. This search for a feeling of completeness. So please, since we are speaking to an audience of brahmacharis, sannyasi, senior Vaishnava, Solis Gunagrahi Maharaj, and one brahmachari candidate. Yes, brahmachari candidate. Yeah. So, remember what triggers in your mind when you see the opposite sex. It's not simply like physical, some sparsha bhoga. It's not simply your skin hungering for the enjoyment of some other skin. It's also an emotional hankering for fulfillment and completion in connection with someone else, the opposite sex. And then, as Lord Vrishabhdev explains, the hard knot in the heart forms. Tiormito hridaya grantamahu. And once the hard knot in the heart is there, atogri hasetra sutapta vitaya. You need a place for your pastimes. You need a lila stali. Where the pastimes of seeking completion can take place. And gradually that lila stali, that house becomes more and more elaborate and extended and improved upon. Home improvements. And then, of course, you want all the things that come with the home. And you have to have persons who appreciate your home, your lila stali. Relatives, friends. They all also contribute to a sense of completeness, social acceptance. I remember one relative when I think it was what is my brother? Graduated from law school. He graduated from Harvard Law. So he's my younger brother. So a relative came up to me and said, you know, the family was celebrating, and I don't know, I happened to pass through briefly, not at the celebration, but sometime afterwards, and a relative came up to me and said, you could have had all that. Which you could have had all this glory. You could have had all this prestige. You could have felt this completeness that your brother is now feeling. You could have had the blessings of society upon you, and you would have felt fulfilled, but you turned your back on it all. Some years later, that same brother came to me with tears in his eyes and saying, the routine, I can't stand it. How did you avoid this? How did you avoid the routine? So when you start to analyze your existence in this world based on your quest for completeness, you can see how you go astray. So I advise you, next time that your mind starts to contemplate the opposite sex, analyze that thinking. Understand, I'm looking for completion. I'm looking for feeling connected and enlarged. I'm looking for a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. That's why when persons so-called fall in love, they think like it's a cosmic experience. The whole universe is different. They make songs. There were bells in the air, but I never heard them ringing till there was you. There were birds singing, but I never noticed until there was you. In other words, the whole universe has changed because of connection to you, and now I feel like I'm part of the whole cosmos, and the whole cosmos notices me. This is the powerful impact of this mituni bhava, this emotional state generated by contact between male and female. We are looking for Krishna. Our completeness can only be fulfilled by Krishna. So all the different ashramas are different ways of gradually coming to that conclusion. Only Krishna can satisfy me in my quest for completion. This verse speaks about the qualities of a proper wife. Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities, and vanity. You can apply the same characteristics of service to Guru and Krishna. How to be a proper disciple. Just as in the purport it describes, the wife should not be proud of her material position. As soon as she becomes proud of her material background, there's a misunderstanding created, and there, her married life becomes ruined. Devahuti was very careful about that, and therefore it is said here that she gave up pride completely. Also, she was not unfaithful. She was very chaste. We can take these principles and apply them to our service to our spiritual master. We should never become proud thinking I have some materials, abilities, I have some material background, therefore I'm so valuable in devotional service. I'm very thankful that when I was a new devotee, no one inquired about my material background. Whereas now, if I had come to a temple as a new devotee, I'd have probably gotten very puffed up. Yeah. Oh, you are from such university, you just graduated. Please, we offer our obeisances to you. Please be the temple president immediately. That's the way it would be now. But back then in the early 70s, no one thought much about it all. I came to the temple, they handed me a broom. Your service is to sweep the floor at the press. I just, okay. Of course, nowadays, some look back and say, well, you know, that shouldn't have been. We're not going to make those mistakes anymore. But I took it all as Krishna's mercy. No one said, oh, you are a Yale graduate. Wow. How fortunate we are to have you. No. They handed me a broom and told me my service was to sweep the floor. And then 3 weeks later, I went out on a Harinam party and I sold a lot of incense while the Harinam party was chanting. I got back to the temple and the temple president came up to me and said, you are a Sankirtan devotee. Oh, okay. Sankirtan devotee back then meant 7 days a week. If you came back, if you wanted to come back for the Sunday feast, you were in Maya. So, I took it all as very purifying and see it in that way. I made a vow that I said, the only way I'm going to last in devotional service, coming from such a contaminated material background of mundane education, the only way I'm going to last is if I make a vow not to read any word except from Prabhupada's books. And I did that for 5 years. Until I went to Eastern Europe, where I had to start reading newspapers and magazines to find out about the material situation. Otherwise, for 5 years, I didn't read any word except from Prabhupada's books. And I could see that vow did me so much good. It purified the pride or contaminations coming from a very powerful, mundane educational background. And of course, by taking to the Sankirtan service, one becomes very humble. Otherwise, you can't go on in Sankirtan distributing books. And Devahuti is described as being very chaste. Similarly, a disciple get strength by being dedicated to following the order of the spiritual master. Focusing on that order and focusing on instructions as his life and soul, as her life and soul. That is where you get strength from. That's Krishna's system. Therefore you get spiritual power, bala, when you follow Krishna's system. Sometimes it's hard to understand. What's the big deal? I mean, you know, okay, yeah, I go through the rituals. Jai Guru, Dev, Jai Guru Maharaj. All glorious to you. But in your heart, you know, I'm the source of strength. It's me and my abilities. No. A real disciple understands that Krishna has set up this system for distributing spiritual power. And that spiritual power is received through disciplined succession. Therefore, it's not just a ritual that I participate in Krishna's system. It is my life and soul. Spiritual power, the spiritual bala, descends in this way. Therefore, Lord Balaram is described as the original guru. He gives the spiritual strength for carrying out Krishna's instructions. Mm-hmm. about that subject of pride in your material abilities and forgetting the strength comes from the guru. I remember being at the BBT in Los Angeles. Of course, our godbrother Gopi Pranadana Prabhu was there. He was in the Sanskrit department. I was in the English department, and also in eventually became in charge of the production, the whole production process. So I remember the Sanskrit department was full, chock full of so many young devotees who, you know, wanted to learn Sanskrit. So many of them. There was no shortage. But practically out of a group of maybe 10, only 2 survived. Gopi Pranana Prabhu and Kushakrata Prabhu. All the others studying a little bit of Sanskrit and then got a big head. Oh, now I'm understanding the Vedas. Now I'm understanding everything completely. I remember one pundit. He would never come to Mangalarti. You'd see him after we were coming out of Mangalarti at New Dwarka. You'd see him around 5:30 emerging. And he'd come out and then recite elaborate mantras and all sorts of things, but the point was he never went to Mangalarti. He missed the point, but he could come out and recite such elaborate mantras, and he impressed himself very much by this. One of them even thought that he was capable of knowing more than Srila Prabhupada. He went to Radha Kund to associate with the Babaji's. Then he came back and Prabhupada called him in, because at that time he was the senior Sanskritist. Prabhupada called him in and kind of said very, actually kind of intimidating, "So, such and such stuff, how did you like Radha Kund?" In other words, "You have been displeasing me." I remember another devotee. He's now a professor somewhere. He decided to acquire some books of Rupa Goswami from somebody in Vrindavan by sending that person a set of Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada heard about it and was very angry. "Who is this devotee sending my books in exchange for Goswami literature?" Now, try to understand, it's not that Prabhupada was against Goswami literature, but that's not the point. The point was he saw the mentality of this Sanskrit student who was thinking, "I'll trade these very nicely done editions of Prabhupada's books, very nice design, nice, you know, beautifully published, beautiful format. I'll cash these in for high literature." In other words, I'll trade opulent looking books for books that are not well printed, but which actually contain the real wealth. Prabhupada saw that mentality. That this devotee was actually jumping over. So the point is not that Prabhupada was against the literature of the six Goswamis. No, he was against this mentality in this disciple. I remember Jayadvaita, at that time a brahmachari, he was saying very appropriately, he makes these very pithy statements. "What is this? Overlooking, Goswami Prabhupada to, send off for so-called Goswami literature." That was actually the sum and substance of the point. This disciple was thinking, "Well, Prabhupada is giving us elementary things, very nicely packaged, but I will get some real esoteric knowledge." So as Jayadvaita than Brahmachari said. Jumping over Prabhupada Goswami to get so-called Goswami literature, which he'll never be able to understand without the blessings of Prabhupada Goswami. Bhakti is very subtle science. That was interesting. I was watching this department because even then in our young devotees stage, Gopi Pranandabhu and I together, we sometimes had to team up to curb the Sanskrit, the other Sanskritists who were always trying to change something, show their erudition, change this, change that, and something to show that they were, that they had deep knowledge. It's interesting that of all the Sanskritists there, at the time in the department, there were about ten or so, maybe even a dozen who went through the Sanskrit BBT department, from the most out, the most infamous one, who asked Prabhupada's blessings to find a higher guru, and Prabhupada told him, "I give you my blessings to go to hell." And the others weren't as outrageous, but they also had problems like that. So the two Sanskritists that were the humble ones, they were always made fun of by the others. I remember the others, they would always make fun of our esteemed Gopi Pranandabhu and Kushakrata. The others thought, you know, we're so erudite, these others, they're not as together as us. But it's interesting. All those others went down, and only those other two survived. That's very interesting. It shows you material abilities, material prowess is not what will allow you to last in Krishna consciousness. The two who everyone thought, they're the ones who went on, and all the others who were so sharp and materially together, they thought erudite. Within a few years, even before Prabhupada disappeared, half of them were gone. Entrapped by their false egos. So that was the Sanskrit department, the history of the Sanskrit department in ISKCON teaches a great lesson. How to be a chaste disciple and how not to be a chaste disciple. You are a future Sanskritist, yes? Huh? So, please let us understand this need for feeling complete. That need for feeling complete is meant to be fulfilled by Krishna. To the degree that we look elsewhere to fulfill our sense of incompleteness, to that degree we'll be in the dream world. To that degree we're fallen. As soon as we realize and act in such a way that all our hopes and desires are perfectly connected to Krishna, then there's no more fallen condition. There's no more dream. That's why Lord Brahma prays to Krishna in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Ajnana moksha jiva bandha moksha. Actually, liberation and conditioning doesn't exist. It's just an illusion. Just like when the sun's shining, there's no night. If you're where the sun is always shining, what's the question of night for you? It's like you can fly in an airplane westward. Wherever the sun is going, you're moving in the direction. You fly from Moscow to London to New York to Los Angeles, you're moving with the sun. There'll never be darkness for you. Simple example, but very profound. Similarly, we're never separate from Krishna. But some cloud is there. Even though the sunlight is all around, there's some cloud which is affecting us. But meanwhile, the sun is shining brightly all the time. So liberation and conditioned life is in relation to that cloud. But actually, the sun is shining brightly all around. All right. Any questions? Yes.
Vidyananda Maharaj wasn't present amongst those sense devotees.
No, he was.
He came later?
Yes, he. That started maybe the end of the 70s. Yes, after Prabhupada's disappearance. Any other questions? Thank you very much.